A group of teenagers lead the march. Young men in suits stand on the back of a lorry, gathered around the flags of the Commonwealth. They're travelling around Sri Lanka ahead of the summit, projecting an image of unity. Like the official video, which shows Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, all the island's faiths, smiling in the warm glow of a new age of peace.
We've stopped now by the main road into Kilinochchi. In the days of the war, this was the Tamil Tigers' headquarters. I'm going to go and talk now to a group of people in black t-shirts with the initials CSD. It's a civil defence group. I'm going to find out what they think about the Commonwealth heads of government coming here.
At the moment, the situation is good. The government has given us jobs, and we are able to get on with our day-to-day lives happily.
Millions are being spent repairing the infrastructure. We passed lines of men unraveling cable, hauling gravel and timber along the main railway line north. As part of its reconciliation agenda, the state has held the first provincial elections here in decades, released thousands of former Tamil Tiger prisoners, and is building new homes for those displaced by war. New roads are appearing where once there were only dirt tracks. The army is omnipresent in the north. And running counter to the official narrative of reconciliation is the evidence of UN investigators and human rights groups who accuse the state of escalating repression and the security forces of acting with impunity. Even to give you the exact location of where we are would risk exposing the identity of the man we're on our way to see. He is a Tamil who was picked up by the security forces and, he says, severely tortured. This man was arrested during the war and says he only signed a confession on terrorism charges after torture. He was only recently released and says he still lives in fear of the army, who call regularly at his workplace.
They hung me up naked and beat me with iron rods. They put a plastic shopping bag on my head and burnt me with cigarette butts. They were drunk and wouldn't listen to us. Four or five people would squeeze my penis. Every time they asked a question, they would squeeze my penis. I used to crawl across the floor in pain.
We were taken to a safe house to meet a female ex-combatant who alleged she'd been beaten, sexually assaulted, and threatened with rape. In her hands, she clutched a bottle of sleeping tablets. She told me she'd take an overdose if she was detained again.
What do you fear will happen to you if they find you?
I don't want to be sexually molested by the army. If they take me, I know I will be tortured and I will not come back again. I keep these tablets because I don't want to be raped by them. That is why I'm carrying them around.
She asked me who's going to protect her. Well, for now, she will be hiding in this safe house. But long term, what guarantees are there when the people that she's in mortal terror of are the forces of law themselves?
Sri Lanka has been warned that it faces the possibility of an independent international investigation. The UN Human Rights Commissioner and the major human rights groups believe the state's own inquiries have failed to reach the truth about what happened at the end of the war. David Cameron has spoken of the need for a proper independent inquiry. Sri Lanka's Foreign Minister, G.L. Peres.
It is not simply a question of our intention to appoint an independent investigative body. It's something that has already happened. It is ongoing.
If there is any attempt to set up an international investigation, Sri Lanka will not cooperate with that.
We will say that this is unwarranted. There is no reason to do this. It is entirely without justification.
Sri Lanka has achieved peace of a sort. The terrorism of the Tamil Tigers, which inflicted misery on so many, has been brought to an end. But it feels like a peace based on the rule of the security state, on unanswered questions about the past, and fear in the present.